in Parshas Truma, when the Torah tells us about the creation of the Mishkan and its Kelim, so we know that the Torah tells us that on top of the Parocha, the Kapores, the lid of the Aron, were the Kruvim. Two, like statues, that had wings, and they had faces. Peneyam Ishal Achiv, the Torah says. Talk about that more in a second. They faced each other. Chazal say they had the faces of children, a boy and a girl. In Divrei Yomim, though, it says that they were Peneyam El Abayis, that the faces of the Kruvim didn't face each other, but they faced the Kodesh. So the Gemara in Baba Basra asked the question, so what was the position of the Kruvim? How did they face? Seems to be a stira, contradiction between what it says in the Torah and it says in Divrei Yomim. So the Gemara presents two opinions. One opinion is that they're Yishal Achiv, they faced each other. Other opinion is Pneam Labayas, they faced inwards towards the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. So, if that's true though, says the Gemara, so according to each opinion, how do you explain the other pasuk? So he answers the Gemara famously, Kam Bizman Sha'osin Ritzono Shamakom, Kan Sheino Osin Ritzono Shamakom. It depended how we were doing. And that the orientation of the Kruvim would change. When Klal Yisrael was doing well with Ribbono Shel Olam, if we were doing what we're supposed to do. So Ishal Achiv, they faced each other, symbolizing Am Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu are facing each other, we're doing well. But when we were not doing Ritzono Shel Malkum, we were not doing the things we were supposed to do. So then miraculously, the Kruvim would shift. They're made out of gold. They would shift. And they would no longer face each other to represent, symbolize the fact that our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu was in trouble. So the Gemara in Yuma tells a story about what happened during the Churban Beis HaMikdash. One thing to keep in mind with this story, and the Gemara itself tells us this a little earlier, is that during the second Beis HaMikdash, there were no Kruvim. Why? Because there was no Ara. And the second Beis HaMikdash was missing a number of things. One of them was there was no Ara. So the Gemara is going to talk about how the Kruvim faced. Well, the Gemara says there was some type of picture or engraving of the Kruvim that was hung on the wall in the second Beis HaMikdash to still represent, to have the Kruvim still there. The Gemara says that when the Romans came into the Heichal, they came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they saw the Kruvim and they were hugging. And the Gemara continues and says that they took the Kruvim out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and they brought them into the streets of Yerushalayim and they said to the Jewish people, this is what you have in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? A man and a woman hugging each other in the holiest place in the world? I mean, you think it's the holiest place? It's disgusting. What's wrong with you? So there's a big problem with this Gemara. And the problem is, and the Ritva, according to the Rimi Gash, points this out, so I don't understand. Gemara and Baba Basra told me that the Kruvim are facing each other when we're doing great. When we're not doing great, where do they face? The other way. So at the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, where would you expect the Kruvim to face? Or maybe they'd separate themselves. Totally, right? The last thing you expect to see is the Kruvim embracing, hugging each other. So how do you understand what's happening in this Gemara? So the Zohar quotes two answers, and I want to share with you a third answer. Ritva writes, answer number one is that when the Gemara said the Kruvim did this miraculous thing, they changed back and forth, that was when? That was the first Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash, you had a picture on the wall, but they didn't change then. So what picture did they put on the wall? A picture of Kruvim hugging each other. Okay, and that's what happened. So Ritva quotes that answer, but doesn't like it because that was the picture that why would they choose Kruvim hugging each other? It doesn't make any sense. So he quotes that second answer from the Ra'im. The Ra'im writes that even the picture in the Beis HaMikdash, in the second Beis HaMikdash, even that picture had the same nace. That they would face or they wouldn't face away. But when it's time for the Churban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle that they would hug each other. Why? The Ra'im writes, to be a bizayim for Klal Yisrael. It's a nace in the negative. And Hashem made them embrace so that the Romans could parade the picture around and embarrass us. But there's a third answer also. This third answer is offered by the Sefer Ohel Moshe. I heard it from Rabbi David Gottlieb. He quoted this answer. There's a medrash in Eicha Rabasi which says the following. Quotes Tehillim Ayin Tes. The Tehillim that's been said a lot over the last 10 months. Mizmor Le'asaf. Bo goy b'nach la'secha, timus heichal katshecha, samuyus yushalayim li'iyim. And Mizmor Le'asaf, a song to Asaf, why? Because the non-Jews came in and they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And the Medrash says, Mizmor Le'asaf, Mizmor means something positive. Mizmor shir li'yom ha'shabbos. Mizmor, says Gemara, it should say kina le'asaf. The non-Jews came and ransacked the Beis HaMikdash, what a terrible thing. And answers the Gemara, no. Answers the Medrash. It is a Mizmor. Why is it a Mizmor? Because Shafach Hamaso Be'itzin Va'avonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided not to destroy Klal Yisrael, which he threatens to do numerous times in the Midbar. He doesn't do that. And instead, at Chatzos Hayom, on Tisha B'Av, he allowed the Beis HaMikdash to be lit on fire, sparing Klal Yisrael. And therefore, says the Medrash, Mizmor li'asaf bo goyim benach lasecha. There's a certain sigh of relief in a certain sense that he only destroyed the building and didn't destroy us as people. And that his action in some way reflected the Ribbono Shel'Olam's love for Klal Yisrael. It's much easier to show love to someone when things are going well in the relationship. And it's much harder to show love when things are bad. And this also explains a pasuk at the beginning of Eicha. The pasuk says, "Hi yashra bagoyim v'lo matzama noach." That now we're living amongst the non-Jews and we can't find respite. There's nowhere. We can't just relax anywhere. No one takes us. No one likes us. For a little bit they do and then they don't like us anymore and they get rid of us. And it's such a hard thing to be wandering around Gullus. And no matter where we go, at some point they turn on us. And says the Medrash, exactly. Because if we'd find a resting place, if we'd be accepted amongst the non-Jews, we'd never want to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So again, the punishment was itself a way of keeping us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that punishment itself is a way, a reminder that Hashem has not abandoned us. The suffering in Gullus is in fact the greatest way to keep us close to each other and close to Hashem. The Netziv points this out, many others. And this explains a third answer to our question. Why are the Kruvim hugging at the moment of Churban? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was miraculously showing Klal Yisrael that even at a time we were at our lowest point in our relationship with Hashem, He created a nace. A nace for what purpose? Just to show us that He wasn't rejecting us totally. Yes, there was a lesson to teach us. He was punishing us. There was something we needed to learn. but he was not permanently severing the relationship. The very act of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, and only that, was a reflection of our unbreakable bond in close relationship with him, which in the end would keep us closer to him. How many videos have you seen of people who were hostages, people who experienced the massacre at Nova, who were not religious, who said, after that experience, I'm keeping Shabbos. I saw one today. Actually, the young woman I talked about last night, Sapir, I saw a different interview with her today, and she said she started keeping Shabbos. It makes no sense. You went through the worst things any human being could ever experience, and now you're keeping Shabbos. Somehow, a Jew has a sense that even when Baruch Hashem puts us through horrible things, he's holding on to us. He wants to come close. The way the Gemara describes the coming of Mashiach is called the Chevlei Leida, the birthing pains. And it comes from the Navi Yeshayahu, who uses that language. It's painful and difficult, but something positive that comes at the end. It's worth it at the end. But Rav Melech of Lezhensk, the Norman Melech, points out that there's another reason it's called Chevle Leida. Chevel, Ches, Beis, Lamed, Milashon, Chevel is a rope. What does that mean? So Norman Melech says that there's a tradition that before the coming of Mashiach, Hashem will take the rope that connects him and the Jewish people, connects him and humanity. And he's going to rattle the rope ferociously. And the challenge is going to be to hold on. That's called the Chevlei Mashiach. Hashem is certainly shaking the rope right now. And our challenge today is to know that even as he challenges us, it's because, I didn't say it, Rav Schechter said it. We're getting close to the end. And if we can hold on to him, he wants to hold on to us too. So as we exit one of the most relatable, but perhaps most difficult Tisha B'Avs in recent memory, it's important that we remind ourselves this point, that as Jews suffer, both in Eretz Yisrael and around the world, that suffering is not in vain. It provides, in a certain sense, an opportunity for us to remember who we're supposed to be, even a reminder of his desire to be close to us, while he waits for us to show him just how much we desire that closeness with him, to show him that we're ready and willing to hold on.